Welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Bullpen Report, part of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. This is Dan Thompson at Red Fox Roto, bringing you bullpen news from across the major leagues. Today is Tuesday. It is May 6th. We've got some news to cover since you heard from me last on Saturday. We'll go over a few weekend happenings and definitely a few games from last night's small slate. But first, between my weekly written article available to FTN subscribers on Wednesdays and these 15-minute podcasts releasing on Tuesdays and Saturdays, I'm usually covering only a few days of games at a time between when content comes out. So for stable bullpens, like in San Diego, St. Louis, Toronto, Kansas City, you're not going to hear about them much, if at all. We know who the closer is: Robert Suarez, Ryan Helsley, Jeff Hoffman, Carlos Estevez. We know who the eighth inning guy is. We know everybody's roles. We know the next man up, who throws the seventh. There's usually nothing to report when those assembly lines are moving as expected. It's the bullpens with the least stability that will get the most airtime and the most space on the page as we watch them closely to see where's the fantasy value lying and where could it go next. We can profit from the instability and anticipating changes, or at least responding to change faster than others in our league. So today we'll dig around some of those unstable situations, many of which we've heard plenty about so far, but I'll also finally give some attention to a few bullpens we haven't been hearing much about. And I want to highlight some potential fantasy value from setup guys we also haven't heard much about. But first, we're heading back to the Bronx. It's been over a week since Devin Williams was removed from the Yankees closer role. Since that time, Williams, he'd thrown three scoreless innings, and his results had started to look more like what we expect from him. In our FTN Discord, we had questions about starting Devin Williams this week in anticipation that he could slide back into that ninth inning again soon, even as soon as this week. But after last night, I don't think we'll be hearing that question for some time. Devin Williams was brought in for the eighth inning against the Padres last night. It was a three-run lead. He started out fine. He struck out Martin Maldonado. But then he walked Tyler Wade. He allowed a hit to Brandon Lockridge. Came back and struck out Fernando Tatis for that second out of the inning. But then he followed up that strikeout with a walk to Luis Arias. He loaded the bases. And at 21 pitches already, Williams was pulled from the game for Luke Weaver. And unfortunately, Weaver immediately allowed a double to Manny Machado, a single to Xander Bogaerts. Suddenly four runs were in, three of them charged to Devin Williams, and it was really another disaster outing for him. This was a big setback for Devin Williams. If he was close to getting another shot at the ninth inning, that's been pushed back indefinitely now. It would take another few weeks at a minimum, and that's only if he's stacking scoreless innings. More walks, more runs, he won't see the ninth for a long time. It still feels difficult to recommend straight up dropping Devin Williams in an NFBC league or another similar style of league, Roto League. But if he doesn't show something the rest of this week, I wouldn't blame anyone for pulling the plug if they needed that roster spot or they thought they could use it better. And unless I had room for a stash, somebody where I could hold him for several weeks at a minimum, I don't know if I'd rush to pick up Devin Williams if he was dropped that following week. That's how bad things have been for him this year. Now, Williams' replacement in the ninth, Luke Weaver, he had his own troubles last night. He did allow the two hits that blew the lead, and he walked another batter before getting that last out of the eighth inning. But it was the first run that Weaver had allowed all season. His ERA still sits at 0.59, even after yesterday. Weaver has been just incredible since the start of 2024, and now he should have a long runway as the Yankees closer. If Luke Weaver is somehow still available in a league somewhere, go at him, get him as fast as you can. At this point, there's a non-zero chance that Devin Williams does not get that closer job back. It's still probably within sight of zero, but it's not zero anymore. If you have Devin Williams, which I still do, in an NFBC Online Championship, thankfully in that league I had backed him up with Luke Weaver, so I feel okay. But if you have Devin Williams, make plans to find saves somewhere else. Over now to Arizona, another bullpen we've heard plenty about. If we thought the return of Kevin Ginkle could cloud the closing situation there after Justin Martinez landed on the IL with shoulder soreness, that's probably not happening. Ginkle most recently allowed a run in the seventh inning on Saturday while collecting a hold, but he's allowed runs in his last two games. So Shelby Miller should have the ninth inning to himself for as long as Justin Martinez remains out of the picture in Arizona. Now, in Boston, we've seen a disappointing stretch here for Justin Slayton. The right-handed co-closer for the Red Sox has taken a couple losses and a blown save in his last three games, allowing six runs, five of them earned. And this comes at a time when Liam Hendricks is on a run of five straight scoreless appearances. So Slayton could soon be feeling some pressure from Hendricks. But it's Aroldis Chapman that remains the favorite for saves in Boston for the immediate future. However, I would start to consider Liam Hendricks as a possible addition and stash, but more likely in shallower leagues or those with deeper benches where you can afford the space to hold on to him. All right, so this is the time now I want to recognize some of the unsung relievers who have either climb the ladder into that eighth inning and become the next man up in their bullpens, or guys who started with that role, but they don't have the ownership percentage or the attention that maybe they deserve. So these are guys who could make decent stashes, especially if the closer in front of them starts to show some cracks. So the situation that prompted this was in the A's bullpen. Mason Miller is as dominant as they get at the closer position. But he showed on Saturday that nobody is untouchable. Miller blew a save in truly epic fashion. He allowed five earned runs. It ended with a Kyle Stowers grand slam. The next day, with Mason Miller unavailable, Tyler Ferguson got the ninth inning and converted his first save of the season. So Ferguson is one of those guys who has really quietly stepped into the eighth inning, and he should be that closer in waiting if something happened to Mason Miller. In 17 and a third innings, Ferguson has a 0.52 ERA, 0.87 whip. The walk rate is higher than we want to see. He wouldn't be invincible in a closing role. But Ferguson is probably the guy who would get that chance if Mason Miller went down. So who are some other pitchers that fit this mold as the under-the-radar possible closers in waiting? Edwin Uceta in Tampa, he was a popular draft pick as a closer spec behind Pete Fairbanks, but he was probably dropped quite a bit early. He had a rough patch in April, but he seems to have been largely forgotten since then. He's on a streak of nine consecutive scoreless appearances. He's really firmed up that eighth inning role again. So Edwin Uceta is a good name to remember in Tampa. Yimi Garcia in Toronto is up next. Jeff Hoffman has been really, really good, but Yimi Garcia has been excellent behind him with 20 strikeouts and 14 and two-thirds innings. Garcia just allowed his first earned runs of the season on Saturday. So Garcia could be a good name to keep an eye on. In Houston, we have Brian Abreu. Big strikeout numbers. Like Yimi Garcia, he's got 20 strikeouts in 14 innings. Abreu is another guy where walks are an issue, but all of his runs allowed this year came in the same game. Brian Abreu has been lights out otherwise. No imminent worry about Josh Hader, but Abreu is a name to keep watch of too. Now, I've already talked on this pod about Daisbell Hernandez in Atlanta. Hernandez is not a strikeout pitcher, but he's been really difficult to hit this year, allowing just 6 hits in 15 and 2/3 innings. More importantly, though, he's really solidified himself as the primary 8th inning setup man behind Raisel Iglesias. And lastly, in St. Louis, we have Phil Maton. The ratios don't leap off the page, but all 6 of Maton's earned runs came in just 2 games. The K-minus walk is 18-3, a really, really good ratio there. And he's been a reliable 8th inning bridge to Ryan Helsley all season. Now, there's a couple honorable mentions. The first would be Matt Brash in Seattle. Brash just came back from Tommy John surgery. He would still need to earn his way into that 8th inning setup job. But Seattle really needs somebody to step up in front of Andrés Muñoz. And Brash could certainly fill that role. Also, there is Robert Garcia in Texas. He probably is the most talented arm in the Texas bullpen, which doesn't always equate to becoming the closer. But Garcia has become more interchangeable with Chris Martin as the setup man for Luke Jackson in the past week and a half. As a left-handed pitcher, Robert Garcia likely wouldn't ascend to the closer role all by himself, but a situation like AJ Puck had in Arizona or Aroldis Chapman has now in Boston, that type of role could go to Garcia if, for any reason, Luke Jackson were to become unavailable. So that's everything I have for you on this Tuesday afternoon. Catch the Bullpen Report podcast again on Saturday. This has been the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Dan Thompson. Let's close it out.